I have to tell you that one of the subjects that I get so many questions about from the affirmation students are about hell, right? What is hell? If you go to hell, can you get out of hell? Do you really get burned up by fire if you're in hell? Lots of questions about hell. So here we are, 2 days from our national election, and I think that hell would be getting forced to listen to and watch nothing but political ads forever and ever. To me, that would be hell. Woo! I think that these advertisements, they capture the absolute worst of human nature with all the negativity and fear and hatefulness that they spew. Most often, the truth gets skewed to tear down an opponent rather than sharing something meaningful or the least bit helpful and understanding anything about the candidate who is demanding our vote. I don't know about you, but this election cycle has tested my endurance. So much hate and anger make it difficult to think of everyone as one of God's beloved children. It would be easier to join into the negativity than it is to keep my focus on God's love and to show mercy to those that we disagree with or that I disagree with. It's tempting to get down in the dirt and start slinging mud. And then we have Jesus reminding us to love our enemies, to let them bring out the best in us, not the worst. Loving our enemies and offering no retaliation when someone slaps you or takes your shirt or takes advantage of you seem impossible in light of how worldly power works and acts. Not retaliating seems really unrealistic when the world we live in is all full of violence. The violent often run over those who do not retaliate. On the other hand, meeting violence with violence only increases violence. We get caught in this cycle of escalating violence, and it's just about impossible to recognize, much less exercise, mercy and love to anyone else. Those of us who follow Jesus are to live as God lives, mercifully and generous beyond expectation, beyond comprehension. For disciples, that's us. For God's people, loving and doing good are all about a generosity that draws no boundaries based on the person who's going to be receiving our generosity. It's good to keep in mind that love in this passing world will... It is good to keep in mind that love is about willing the good of another and acting on it. So you want the best for someone else, and then you act on that for the benefit of other people. It might help us a little bit to think about what was happening before we get to this text. Jesus had declared that he had been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, to heal the sick and restore sight to the blind. He had called and chosen 12 people to be his disciples. He had preached his great first sermon, this great sermon, to this huge crowd of people on the plain. And in this, he preaches a series of blessings and woes, what we call the Beatitudes. Now, Luke's Beatitudes are a bit different because each blessing is accompanied with a woe. So blessed be the poor, those who are hungry, those who weep, those who are hated and excluded. Woe to you who are rich, who are full, who are laughing now, and those who, like the false prophets, are spoken well of and held in high esteem. Jesus describes what the world will look like when all of God's creatures fully belong to God. He's asking his listeners, to us, to imagine a world that is defined by God's worldwide shalom. Imagine a world of wholeness, well-being, love, and peace. A world where everything is completely and totally reconciled with God. This is the kingdom that comes near in Jesus. Shalom, peace, wholeness, well-being. This is the saving promise for all of God's people. And as wonderful as that would be, the promise of shalom for all people brings about adjustments and changes in the world order of Jesus' day. Changes that will completely flip over the social order, turn it upside down. The kinds of changes that generate fear and often violence as people try to hold on to their power, the power that's afforded to them by the existing systems. That was true in Jesus' day, and it is true in our own. Just as those in need around Jesus looked for both hope and healing, they continue to seek hope and healing in our own age too. Now, this message that Jesus brings, this is a tough one for us humans. It calls for a change of vision, a change of behavior, a change in our very bones. Resistance to and fear of change are surely the main drivers in our nation and in this upcoming election. Fear that needy people will deprive us of what we feel we have worked so hard to accumulate. Fear that immigrants will somehow take away our livelihoods. We want to protect what is ours. Our fear drives us to create boundaries and walls to keep us safe. And while there is a clear need for all of us to have a sense of safety and hope, building barriers does not give us God's shalom. It is a false sense of safety and security and hope. Political elections are about our imagination. So in a democracy, they provide astounding moments of creativity that get used in both breathtaking and disturbing ways. In an essay, Willie Jennings reminds us that elections are about our imagination, and he calls upon Americans, especially Christians, to claim the power of life together, precisely at the site of threat and fear. He insists that we can do this because an election is an opportunity to reimagine a world and seek to set the stage for the world that we can imagine. A world based on love and kindness and respect and hope in community. Now, I realize that Jesus was not talking about political elections in this text. He's talking about this astounding time of creativity that is so breathtaking and disturbing in the world that he occupies that it has a tendency to draw people to him, while at the same time it terrifies others. He is casting a vision of what it means to live in a community defined by its love, its mercy, its kindness, and its forgiveness. So the question for us today is, what does this text that we heard on All Saints Sunday offer to us? Yes, we are called to remember saints who have gathered around Jesus in every time and place. All those that came before, all those that are here now, and all those that are yet to come. To remember a people with needs and hopes who caught a glimpse of a world full of God's shalom. Through Christ, we share an intimate unity within the communion of saints. Communion of saints, including those who have already finished the race. This communion of saints, in its best state, does not conform to society. It's a new social reality. Jesus calls the church, as in the people, the community of faith, to act differently in the world. He calls each of us to a new existence in which God's generosity benefits the downtrodden, the needy, those who are less fortunate, whatever you want to say. That generosity creates a culture formed and sustained by the mercy of God. As the saints of the past have glimpsed this truth of life in God's world and handed it on to us, so we glimpse the same truth and our calling into God's kingdom here and now to perceive all people as God's people, as God's beloved. we are free to acknowledge that our lives and our needs and our safety and our shalom are in God's hands. We dare to imagine and engage the world in God's name, in the name of love. This text is from the past, but it always is pointing ahead. It's pointing ahead into God's coming future, God's shalom. It is for all saints, all of us who gather now, to be reminded that the hope of the world is not the same old things continuing. It is not for all of us to become elites, to have all this excess, to never worry about illness or loss. Those things are part of life. The hope for God's world is that we lean into God's future together. Jesus delivers his sermon of blessings and woes and continues by telling us to love our enemies without retaliation. It's a guide for daily life right now for all the saints. And for this, I am so thankful. This faith community, we are neighbors now, and after Tuesday, we will still be neighbors. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Let's be merciful. Let's be respectful.